For NSPR News, I'm Mark Albert. It's again time for our weekly check-in with representatives from agencies repairing damage left behind by the campfire. Joining us, Paradise spokeswoman Colette Curtis, Casey Hatcher, Butte County's Deputy Chief Administrative Officer, and Pastor Kevin Lindstrom and Doreen Fogel of the Magalia Community Church, who also operate the Campfire Resource Center there. This week, we'll start off with building permit application data, the most reliable measure of restoration. Colette, you told me earlier 801 applications are now on file in Paradise. I know there was a concern that maybe the rates were inflated at the end of last year because the building code changes drove up the cost of construction and people were rushing to get applications in before the change. Is that what's happening?
We actually are not seeing a slowdown. We thought we might see kind of a big spike at the end of the year and then maybe leveling off a bit afterwards. But so far, we have seen that pace has really remained steady. So,
and Casey Hatcher with Butte County, are you seeing much the same?
Absolutely. We saw a huge spike in December. We collected nearly 100 permits in comparison. Typically collect between 150 and 170 in a whole year prior to the fire. In the campfire area, we've seen about 10% of the total properties that were damaged have come back in for a building permit.
Colette, what else is going on in Paradise?
For anyone who is rebuilding, or even if you're just thinking about rebuilding, not sure, the Rebuild Advocates in the Building Resiliency Center, they are there Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, and they are a free service. They have some great financial resources and can even help with insurance issues.
Colette, are they still working on a drop-in basis or can one make an appointment?
Either one.
Is there a time when they're less busy and the wait might be a little bit shorter?
I would say in the morning before 11.
Good
availability right now is really good.
Thank you. The next big step coming up is the tree removal. How close are we to that getting started?
Our state partners from CalRecycle, they are just now working on awarding their assessment contractors, and those are the teams of crews that will go out and assess the trees as to whether or not they're hazard. We hope to have information out to the public to let people know when that's going to happen and kind of what that process will look like.
And that brings us to a listener question. We have a question from Andrew Walter, I believe, of Paradise. He asks, if a tree on another person's property is threatening an existing home on my property, is there anything I can do other than trying to convince the other person to pay for the removal of that tree?
The reality is that we don't know which direction a tree will fall. If it is such a height that it could fall into the roadway, it's likely that it would be deemed eligible under the hazard tree removal program if indeed it's a hazard tree.
If it doesn't qualify, it's really up to the two neighbors to work it out. Colette, since this is in the town, what is the protocol?
The exact same thing that Casey just said. There's no difference. So the county and the town have the same protocol.
Andrew, I hope that helps answer your question. Also with us today are Doreen Fogel and Pastor Kevin Lindstrom of the Magalia Community Church. They operate the Campfire Resource Center. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
For those who aren't aware, what are you helping with? What needs are you providing and where are you located?
We're up in Old Magalia. It's on Old Skyway. We've got clothes, food, furniture, showers, the laundry area, almost everything you could think of. Fortunately, the donations keep coming in.
Pastor Kevin, did you think you'd still be providing this level of aid a year after the fire?
I kind of had a feeling that we would be doing this for at least 2 years, but now from what we're seeing, it's going to go on for quite some time because actually the need is growing as people start to come back, even though they may have a new house. They've spent the money that they've got. If they've been living in an RV, there's no storage. So they had minimum amount of clothing, a minimum amount of kitchen utensils, and now they move into a home.
I'm certain people come to you for spiritual guidance or confide in you. I know it's anecdotal, but are people generally in better shape?
No, it's not going away soon. Fortunately, Cal Hope is up there, and they do a lot of counseling. Because for myself, it takes so much to run the center that I have not been able to do much counseling.
What do you see as the biggest need and how can people help?
We did a need survey back in August. We were trying to figure out, did we need to still be giving away clothing as an example?
This is Doreen Fogel.
All the top needs for people were basic necessities. It turns out food is their number one need. Clothing was the second. Water was the third. Shoes was next. Everything on that list was basic necessities. People need gas to run their generators. because they're living off-grid. They don't have power poles on their properties. They're living in RVs. We've got people who are living in sheds. There are still people living in cars. There are still people living in tents. 15 months out after the fire. So I track the data every month, and I monitor what's happening with the people who are actually coming to the center for support and services. And at this point in time, we have over 2,000 families that have come in since August. And of those, probably half of them are in RVs or lesser living situations.
During 14, 15 months after the fire, why are there still people living in tents? It seems crazy.
It does seem crazy. There is a real lack of case managers. There's a huge waiting list of people. The case managers are the ticket to the resources that are actually available.
One of the things we're finding is the number of people who did not have insurance, renters who didn't have insurance, but homeowners, because they've owned their homes in this area for generations.
It was entirely paid off.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that we just started asking that question over the last month. And I would say it's probably 75% of the people who are coming in to use the center were renters. And of those, maybe 25% of the renters had renter's insurance. But the homeowners, those people who owned their home, over a third of them had no insurance on their house. We're actually starting to see a second or a third wave of people losing housing. There are people who were renters whose landlords are now not renewing their leases because they need the house back for whatever reasons. We also have people who are staying in other people's homes that have been there now for 15 months and are being asked to leave to move on to someplace else. So the situation is continuing, and it looks like it's actually continuing to get worse.
If someone wanted to help, anything especially that you need?
For volunteering, they can just show up 6 days a week. The only day we don't have volunteers is on Sunday. Anytime between the hours of 8 in the morning and 6 o'clock at night, we're willing and readily available to accept volunteers. In terms of donated goods, we accept donations pretty much 6 days a week, 8 in the morning till 6 o'clock. Doesn't have to be new items. People can look around their house, any clothes that they're not using anymore that are in decent condition. Pretty much anything that you use in your own home, we can use and people will actually need.
That was Doreen Fogel and Kevin Lindstrom with the Magalia Community Church and Campfire Resource Center. The center is open to fire survivors Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays from 11 to 3. Donations are accepted every day except Sunday from 8 to 6. For more, visit their website at magaliacommunitychurch-mcc.org or find them on Facebook. We also heard from Casey Hatcher, Deputy Chief Administrative Officer for Butte County, and Colette Curtis, spokeswoman for the Town of Paradise. For NSPR News, I'm Mark Albert.